Judges and courts play a crucial role in the direction our nation is heading. This weekend on The Stand Radio, we'll talk with attorney Philip Jeragi about conservative judges who are already being vetted for upcoming nominations.
We try to learn lessons and improve our process to make sure that we're looking for people that when they get on the court, they're actually going to hold to the positions that we thought they would through our research.
The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on AFR.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Monday, December the 23rd, 2024. And as always, we thank you for listening to American Family Radio. Well, the panel today includes Wesley Wildman. Good morning, Wesley.
Good morning.
Christopher Woodward.
Good morning.
And Ray Pritchard. Good morning, Brother Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing today?
I'm doing great, man. Appreciate you asking. Raised in Kansas City. We're in Tupelo, and we and the folks are listening all over the country. How's the weather in Kansas City today?
It's, you know, seems like it should be 2 days before Christmas. It's cold. It's chilly.
Right.
It's, Wesley, it's good hunting weather up here in Kansas.
Nice. I like it. Okay. Good. What about the wind then?
Well, a little bit of wind, not a whole lot.
Okay.
And it's in the 30s, but it's not in the 20s.
That's
so
good. Oh,
We're doing good. Pretty happy up here.
Wesley came out of the woods to come do the show.
That's right. Literally.
You're literally in the woods this morning. What time did you get up and go to the woods?
Woke up at 4:30. The reason for that is I got a 30-minute drive to get to my hunting spot. So.
Right. Was the big buck out there?
I saw a buck, not the big one, but I did see it. But to Ray's point, they were moving. They was deer where you were was good deer hunting weather, and where we are is good deer hunting weather. It was about 26 this morning, a light breeze, and then and now it's up around 40.
So no meat for the freezer this morning.
The meat part came from my son. He shot 3 and 3 sits. So we've already got that taken care of. Now we're trophy hunting.
The freezer's already packed.
Freezer's packed.
Okay. What'd you say, Chris?
I was just going to say I've only had 2 kills in my life, and those have been with my car. one of them was right before Christmas, the first Christmas I was here.
The whole first Christmas.
If we're going to start talking animals with your car, and I'm going to be in that game.
Yeah.
The second one was earlier this year, right after I paid off my car.
So you hit 2 deer?
I've hit 2 deer before. Yeah, my insurance, you again? Well, you know, one of those things.
Right, yeah.
Now, was this in town or was this on a highway?
It was out of town, out in the country, which doesn't narrow it down for us, but yeah.
No. Right. Well, anyway, we appreciate everybody listening, and we got a lot to talk about today. By the way, tomorrow is Christmas Eve, and then Christmas Day, and then the day after Christmas. Our offices and our studios will be closed. Right, Brent Creeley, our producer, step to the microphone.
Yes, sir, that's correct.
So we will be, what are we going to be doing these next 3 days?
Next 3 days will be Christmas music on our network.
Okay.
Now from...
Like wall-to-wall or just part-time?
Wall-to-wall except for Christmas Eve, which is tomorrow.
Yeah.
We will have an In Grace Christmas special during this time tomorrow. And then 11 to 11:30 Central tomorrow. We will have a Ray Pritchard Christmas special.
Okay. All right. Ray, by the way, Allison, my wife and I, we've been going through your Christmas devotional guide.
Yeah.
So I'm always running a day behind. So that's not bad for me, actually.
Well, that's pretty good. Only one day behind.
Well, we're just one day behind, my friend. So I gotta catch up tonight.
That's because how are you going to get caught up?
Well, I get caught up. I'll read 2.
Okay. Do two in one day.
I'll do 2 tonight. We'll be caught up for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. I haven't looked ahead. Is December 25th is when the devotion?
That's it. December 25th is the last one.
Yeah. Okay. Next year, we'll have to remind folks about this, and they can get it from your ministry, keepbelieving.com. But it's a, I guess you'd call it an Advent devotional. It's December. I don't know if Advent goes on before December, but it's December, and it's Christmas themed, right?
Right. It's called Great Joy, Advent from the Gospel of Luke. And we just take 25 days, Tim, to look at what the Gospel of Luke says about who Jesus is and why he came. And by the way, tomorrow, when I'm giving that pre-taped a Christmas, and it's related to what's in that devotional, tomorrow's message that's going to be from 11 to 11:30 Central Time right here on AFR is called No Crib for a Bed, taken from Luke chapter 2, verse 7. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. There, just from that one verse, Tim, there is so much spiritual truth about the sovereignty of God over the circumstances of life, about the fact that Jesus' humiliation started early on. He came into his own, the Gospel of John says, and his own did not receive him. But there's great good news there that, as Spurgeon said, if Christ had been born in a palace, we might be afraid to come to him. But no one can be afraid to come to a baby born in a manger, a feeding trough. It's a great message about how the gospel, Tim, is for all of us, that those who are up on top and those who are struggling on the edges of life. So Amen. Tune in tomorrow for No Crib for a Bed.
Amen. So that's going to air, folks, tomorrow right here on American Family Radio, the special Ray did. He's talking about it right now. So that will air at 11:05 Central Time tomorrow. So be sure to tune in for that. I know what you did in that devotion guide I'm talking about. At the end, you put at the end of each devotion, you put a what do you call those code?
QR code.
A QR code. So we're reading this in bed together. Allison and I are reading this in the bed together, and so we're trying to get that thing to work. And the first night it didn't work. With Allison's just going, I'm just taking a picture of it.
Yeah.
And we're trying to figure out how it works. And then finally we figured out you have to click on the yellow.
That's right.
Yes.
The yellow. We did figure that out last night, so we were able to listen to some of the music that you recommended to go along with the devotion guide. But high-tech book there, my friend.
Listen, that if it were up to me, that would never happen, Tim. But our
Whose idea Josh, was that?
Josh, our oldest son.
Okay.
He figured out. He's a tech guy, and that's the reason those QR codes are in there. It would be impossible for me to do
Well,
that.
Well, it's
good timing with Christmas. You kind of feel like you're getting a little extra.
Yeah, you read the devotion and the prayers in there.
Yeah.
And then at the end is the QR code, and you just scan it, and it plays it goes to like a YouTube of a song that Ray recommends to go along with the devotion.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
I'm with Ray. I would have never thought about that. But that's why we got – takes all of us, right?
That's right. Thank goodness for techie people.
Uh-huh. Amen. All right. All right, Chris, what is our first story this morning?
I hate to disrupt the flow and good vibes from the start of this particular
show. You go ahead and do that.
That's the life
that's
of a news
guy. What
you
want to do?
All right. I want to point people's attention to something our news director, Fred Jackson, just posted on our website, afn.net. I'm reading from it now. It says the House Ethics Committee on Monday, today, accused Matt Gaetz of, quote, regularly paying women, including an underage girl, for relations and purchasing and using illicit drugs, all while the Florida Republican was a member of Congress. This was a 37-page report, which includes explicit details of parties and vacations that Gaetz, now 42, took while he was a member of Congress. He has filed a lawsuit seeking to block more information from this report being released. Gaetz says it contains, quote, untruthful and defamatory information that would significantly damage his standing and reputation in the community.
Yeah, that does bring me down, Chris.
Breaking news.
Nobody wants to hear that story.
I got you. Listen, I take no joy in sharing it.
I know. This is Matt Gaetz, the representative from Florida, he has a lot of enemies.
Yes.
So let me ask you this, just one question. You may not know the answer to this. I thought that when he resigned from Congress, what, about a month ago?
After he withdrew his nomination?
Because President-elect Trump had announced that Gates would be his attorney general, which shocked everybody, really. And then he withdrew within 2 weeks, I think, of that, because he wasn't going to be confirmed by the Senate. So my question is, with respect to Gates, I thought that when he resigned from Congress, that ethics committee report was null and void, because that's what Speaker Johnson said. They, if somebody leaves Congress, they no longer have a duty or responsibility to
investigate
anymore.
I think I may have an answer to your question.
Answer
it may
that.
Not be the answer, right. But it's an answer. According to the Associated Press, it says its release comes after at least one Republican joined all five Democrats on the panel earlier this month in a secret vote to release the report about their former colleague, despite initial opposition from Republican lawmakers, including House Speaker Mike Johnson, to publishing findings about a former member of Congress.
Of Conger?
Congress. I misspoke.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I heard you wrong there. Or they changed the word. You were just...
I just stumbled over the word.
Conger. Did you hear Conger, Ray?
I did.
Yeah.
I did.
But anyway...
We're actually talking about this at the same time MSNBC is doing... What I would describe.
Yeah,
as
you know what? I don't know. I haven't seen the ethics committee report, nor have I read it, nor will I. And Matt Gaetz, the congressman from Florida, you know, he's a very in one respect, he's very courageous. Mm-hmm. He's done some good things in Congress. On the other hand, as I said, some people would consider him. I'm not saying this. I'm just saying his detractors would consider him reckless in many respects. So
you're barring from Trump too much this morning. I'm not saying this.
What I'm saying is I don't know what to think. That's what I'm saying. And I don't know who to believe when you get into he said, she said, and all this stuff.
I feel the exact same way when I was listening to some of the Fox News report on this morning and listening to the CNN report on this. I was at the point where I was like, listen, I'm just going to wait until everything's officially out there, because if this has been going on for 5 years,
right,
and they just sped up the process at the point, they meaning the committee sped up the process to get to the bottom of it at the point that he was announced originally with AG, if it was that big of a deal, why do we wait 5 years? And number two, if why would we also speed it up? The timing of everything makes – I'm not saying there's not something there. I'm just saying, it's like you said, it's a he say, she said. So I'm just like, okay, well, when it's all out there and it goes to court and there's a jury and the jury, finds something, then we can go from there. But
I don't know. Has anybody sued him?
Anyway,
all right. That's all we need of that story. Okay. Next story, Chris.
In other news from Washington, President Joe Biden is being criticized today, this time because he is commuting the sentences of 37 of 40 people on federal death row, converting their punishments to life imprisonment just weeks before Trump takes office. Trump is okay with capital punishment, Biden not so much. In fact, Biden says in a statement, these commutations are consistent with the moratorium my administration has imposed on federal executions in cases other than terrorism and hate-motivated mass murder. When Fox News broke this story this morning on Fox and Friends, author and broadcaster Brian Kilmeade weighed in his take on this situation here, and I've got Brian Kilmeade talking about Biden's latest commutations, clip 9.
37 of 40 will get life instead of death. And why would he do this? Well, he's going to go visit the Pope, and the Pope is against the death penalty.
Yeah.
And maybe he's trying to expunge, you know, have one thing, because he's also campaigned on the fact how much he loves abortion. So as a Catholic, you're going to go see the Pope. It's like, hey, yeah, I'm pro-abortion, but on the good side is I'm going to save some of the death penalty.
Yeah, and
so I'll let the fetus die, but I'll let the murderers live.
We also have this story on our website, AFN.net.
That's a very good point.
He said what I was thinking.
Yes, that's a very good point he made, and that has been, right, that has been a legitimate criticism of Roman Catholics in positions of power
that are on the left.
Yeah. Yes. Well, promote the pro-choice position, as they say, about abortion. Mm-hmm. Because doesn't the Catholic Church teach that that's a mortal sin?
Yes, not just a sin, but a mortal sin.
What do you know? I know you're not Catholic, but can you briefly explain the difference, maybe?
Well, there are sins that are sinful, and then there are sins that when you commit them will send you to hell. I mean, the word mortal, that's what that means. It's a sin that makes you worthy of eternal condemnation. And, I mean, it is saying that there's some wrong things, and then some things that are so evil in themselves that you've earned yourself a one-way ticket to eternal damnation. And that's what the Catholic Church says abortion is.
Okay, and so you have Biden, who is a Catholic, and he wears that on his sleeve, right? I mean, yeah. Every time he goes to Mass, they show it on TV, and that he's always called a devout Catholic. And yet, he promotes abortion and supports pro-choice position, which is pro-abortion. And so it's just, it doesn't add up. I mean, you can't be Catholic, a devout Catholic, and not be pro-life.
Yeah, and I was trying to think this morning on the way in, what would be the motive or incentive for President Biden to go to, and this is an effort on his part and his administration part to pardon this many people there to have this many.
He's promoting. I mean, he's pardoning a bunch of murderers, convicted murderers who are on death row. Is that
some
what
of them
doing?
Are murderers of police officers?
Yeah.
I mean, murder's all bad, but I'm just saying, like, I don't understand what would be his motive for doing a record number.
Maybe what Brian Kilmeade said right there. Maybe he's trying to score points with the Pope. Ray, I don't know.
You know, there's another thing. Fox News also reported that Biden said that the purpose for commutating these sentences from death to life in prison without parole, quote, this move will prevent Donald Trump's administration from, quote, carrying out the execution sentences that would not be handed down under current policy and practice. So he commuted this so the Trump administration couldn't go ahead and have some of these prisoners eventually executed.
Well,
this is a political side to all.
Yeah, the political left in this country has always been against the death penalty, mm-hmm. right? I mean,
right.
pretty much. So that is not that's not surprising for Biden to do that. But boy, he's setting records on people he's pardoning.
Yeah, that's what I don't understand. What's the incentive for keeping on going and trying to?
I think, okay, I'm just going to speculate here. I think you got everybody and his brother sending in names of people who are in prison or jail, and they want them out, and they know somebody who knows somebody in the White House. Mm-hmm. And so everybody, whoever's in charge at the White House, and it's not President Biden, and we all have known that since June, right?
That's a good
Whoever's number two, or number three, maybe even a person's name we don't even know, or certainly not in the limelight, and they're sliding these papers in front of Biden every day, and with the exception of Hunter Biden, he knew what he was doing there, and President Biden's finishing his oatmeal, and just grabbed and says, "Here's a pen, sir. Sign this." That's basically what's going on, in my opinion. Now, I don't have any way to prove that, but that's sure. Ray. It sounds like that's what.
Well, and don't you think, Tim? There's going to be more to come. I think he's going to be.
Well, he's got two more weeks, three more weeks, something like
that's
that.
That's right. I think we're going to see much more of this.
Yeah, he's just making. You know, he's shattering all records. I'm talking about Biden is for pardons and commutations. By the way, we've had Jenna Ellis on to talk about this before. Chris, do you know the difference between a commutation and a pardon in layman's terms? Because Jenny gets into all this lawyer talk and we just,
okay.
Using $5 words and stuff. And
full disclosure, I have a BA in communication and my only law experience
that's
in college
all you need, brother.
Was mass
Give
media law.
Give us a BA in communications right. Definition of a commutation.
According to Merriam-Webster.
Oh, you're cheating right there, Chris. You're going to the dictionary.
The act of a pardon is the excusing of an offense without exacting a penalty, a release from the legal penalties of an offense. A commutation, in short, is basically when you change their sentence that they were given.
Okay.
So they're still going to have a consequence.
They haven't taken away the guilty.
Right. Now,
part of it, they
to be clear, like, Biden is not saying these murderers, these people that were convicted of doing awful things, are getting out of jail. He's just changing their death penalty to a life sentence. I don't agree.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
He's not saying, hey, you may have done all these bad things, but you go ahead and roam the streets. It's still a head scratcher and upsetting to many people, which is why people like Brian Kilmeade said this is wrong. And, you know, here's my two cents.
Ray, do you think the Bible supports the death penalty? Or
oh, sure. Okay. Sure. Mm-hmm. Genesis chapter 9.
Yep.
You know, Genesis chapter 9, Romans 13.
That's
Genesis.
Also where you started the government. That's where.
That's right. That's where Genesis 9.
That's right.
That's right.
Isn't that murdering somebody? And then isn't that a violation of Scripture when you fry them? I shouldn't have talked so crudely. Excuse me.
Look.
When you kill them
read. Just read the law of Moses, but Genesis 9, which is what happened, Noah, into the flood, establishment of human government, as Wesley said, those who shed blood by the hand of man, their blood shall be shed. That's in Genesis 9. Then you have death penalty in a number of places in the law of Moses, mm-hmm. and then you have Paul reinforcing that in Romans 13, mm-hmm. that the magistrate does not bear the sword in vain. There are some people made in the image of God, and we should say that, some people made in the image of God whose crimes are so vicious, so heinous, so premeditated, they are such an outrage to the human conscience that they have forfeited their right to be part of human society. They've forfeited their right to life. That's in the Old Testament and in the New Testament.
And there's a distinguishable difference in Scripture and the language, and I'm not Greek or Hebrew or anything like that. However, there is a distinguished difference between murdering and killing.
Absolutely.
But some people use that and misuse that. They say the Bible says thou shalt not kill. This is somebody who's against the death penalty will tell you the Bible says thou shalt not kill, and here you are supporting killing it.
Yeah.
But what the Scripture means is thou shalt not, or what it says in other places, is thou shalt not murder, right?
Right. Well, that's correct. In fact, the Hebrew that's used there in Genesis 20, which the King James said, thou shalt not kill.
Right.
And modern translations much more accurately say, you shall not murder.
Right. What are you going to say, Chris?
Ecclesiastes 3:3, probably don't have to tell Ray this, but Ecclesiastes 3:3 says, in the King James as well as the New International Version, there is a time to kill.
A time to kill.
But it's the same place where it says there's a time for everything?
There's a time for everything, including a time to kill. I've always kind of took that as meaning there is a time for things like the death penalty.
You can't, correct me if I'm wrong, fellers here. And we're about to run out of time for this half hour because
we didn't prepare to talk about this.
We didn't tip off Ray or anybody. I was going to ask these questions. So you can't always apply Old Testament teaching or admonitions or prescriptions to modern day society, can you? I mean,
no. No, not, it's not a one-for-one thing, but what you look at the whole arc of Scripture, and
that's right.
In cases where the Old Testament teaching is reinforced in the New Testament, mm-hmm. you got a principle that is transcultural that applies to all of life, and all we're saying is there are some people and some crimes so heinous that the person must forfeit his life.
Yeah. I thought most of these crimes were, most of these penalties were state penalties. But you're saying that, but I don't think Biden doesn't have jurisdiction, nor does any president over a state.
Well, they were all on federal death row.
Okay, federal. Well, that he does have jurisdiction there, in terms of a pardon or a commutation. So that is correct. All right, we're going to take a timeout right here for more of, and we'll be back with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network in just a couple of minutes. Stay with us.
In many ways, abortion was on the ballot this past election, and there's reason for concern. There are many counties, cities, and states who have radicalized abortion, and thousands of tiny babies will continue to lose their lives every day. Which is why the Ministry of Preborn is on the front lines for at-risk babies and mothers with unplanned pregnancies. Preborn sponsors clinics positioned in the highest abortion areas in the country by providing them with the resources they need to rescue babies. Preborn continues to expand their life-affirming care. Their end-of-year goal is to equip 10 more clinics with ultrasound machines. These life-saving machines cost $15,000, more than most clinics can afford. When a woman meets her baby on ultrasound, she is twice as likely to choose life. And when she comes to a Preborn Network clinic, she will also be embraced with God's love. $28 sponsors one ultrasound, and now through a match, your gift is doubled. How many babies can you save? Please donate. Just dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250, baby, or go to preborn.com AFR. That's preborn.com AFR. All gifts are tax deductible, and Preborn has a 4-star charity rating.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's issues on this Monday, December the 23rd. Thank you for listening to American Family Radio. I'm Tim with Wesley and Chris and Ray. And just want to thank everybody for their support this year of American Family Radio. Many of you listening to me right now have written checks or made donations to AFR and AFA, and and we thank you for that. We just wanted you to know we appreciate it very much. It allows us to have a radio network like you're listening to right now. We can't do that, obviously, without the financial donations of listeners. So we appreciate it very much. All right, Chris, what is your next story?
All right. This one could very well have been the lead had we not had the other things that we unfortunately had to discuss. The man arrested for setting fire to a woman.
Hey, hold on just a minute. I'm serious about this.
Okay.
I want to warn people what we're about to talk about. It's a national news story.
Yes.
You can see it's all over the news. I was reading about it on the New York Post this morning. But the subject matter we're about to talk about is gruesome and not appropriate for children to hear. Okay? So I wanted to give that warning. So go ahead.
I also want to point out, I do not have a weird fascination with talking about these kinds of things. It's just the news on a show called Today's Issues. I know it seems like I'm Dr. Doom and Gloom, but the story is police say the man they arrested for
in New York City
for setting fire to a woman on a subway car is an illegal immigrant. And to respond to this situation this morning on Fox News Channel, incoming Border Czar Tom Homan had this to say, clip one.
Well, look, this is another example of an illegal alien killing American citizens. It's almost a daily occurrence now, you know, because historic number of criminal aliens walking the streets because this administration's policy in sanctuary jurisdictions and lacks immigration enforcement. ICE has their hands tied. Secretary Mayorkas have given them priorities that they can't even go arrest an illegal alien anymore unless he's convicted of a serious crime. Then maybe they can arrest him. So this is on this administration.
Okay, in case you didn't hear, folks, again, it's all over the news. Well, at least it was on the conservative news, the Fox News and I saw it on the New York Post. This happened yesterday, true?
Yes.
Okay, so what happened yesterday, again, this story is just hard to talk about. You had a illegal immigrant in New York City on the subway. He was from Honduras, I think.
Guatemala.
Guatemala. Okay. And he was here because, you know, Biden just flew open the borders for the last 4 years and let everybody come from all over the world. We don't even don't even know who's here, quite frankly. We don't know because his insane open borders policy. Anyway, so this fella went on a subway in New York City, and a woman was sitting by herself. This is how the story goes. And he set her afire.
Mm-hmm. All this is on video.
Yes.
Okay.
All this is on video.
Set her afire. Mm-hmm. And sadly, tragically, she burned to death. Mm-hmm. She lost her life. And they arrested this guy, right?
Yes.
To make things worse, yeah. That's all bad. But after he lit her on fire, he then backed up, sat down on a bench, and watched her burn. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this is obviously just evil personified, yep. Right?
And at a New York subway, illegal immigrant.
I know. That's right. And the crimes that are being committed across the country by people here who are here illegally are going up. And what the gentleman was talking about there, Mr. Holman, right, mm-hmm. who is going to be Trump's
border czar,
he's talking, Ray, about the fact that the Biden's guy, Mayorkas, the Secretary of Health of Homeland Security, right? Mm-hmm. Secretary of? Is that what it's called?
Correct.
Anyway, he of course, he's the one that's facilitated all these people coming to America, and he's hand-tied ICE to keep them from doing anything to deport these folks.
Okay, so the New York Post this morning reported that this fella actually came in the first time during the first Trump administration, was deported within days, reentered during the Biden administration, made his way to New York City, had stayed in several of these taxpayer-supported shelters up there, and then committed this, you know, I don't even know the words that you describe. What kind of depraved mental state to be in, first to go on a subway and then set a woman on fire and then sit there and watch it.
Right, I know.
That's evil. That's evil in
it's what you mentioned earlier about someone deserving of the death penalty.
That's exactly right. This is what we're talking about.
Right.
You're going to commit this kind of evil crime, you have forfeited your right to live.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. I don't know what they're going to do about the. So he came over during Trump's first administration. He was deported, mm-hmm. and then he came back during Biden's open borders. This is a different subject for a different day, I guess. But they're going to have to do something about these repeat entering the. If you've been deported, and then you come back into the U.S. Mm-hmm. again, they're going to have somewhere to put these people. I don't know, build some
Guantanamo Bay,
but something like that, some kind of big facility, maybe on the border out in Texas or Arizona or somewhere to house these folks, because there's got to be some kind of penalty for repeat offenders. There's got to be. And other than just, you're going to deport them again, and they're going to come back again, deport them again, they come back again. You know what I'm saying?
No, I'm following what you're saying, but my mind goes back to the If it was shut down to begin with across the board, then this is not an issue. But I understand. But that's
I'm talking. I'm talking about the. It's about to be shut down when Trump gets in. Yes. The border's about to be closed, unlike it's ever been closed.
Yes.
Probably.
Yep.
And you know what? A lot of that just the mere fact that Trump is going to say, "I'm taking this seriously, and we're going to stop illegal immigration into America." That alone will get to. Will cause people who would otherwise think about coming here illegally to not come. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But as long as they had Biden saying, "Y'all come, we welcome you with open arms. Here's your welcome wagon bag.
Yeah,
and your gift certificate.
Yep,
you know, to Macy's
grand.
And your
that's right.
Your discounts off all kind of McDonald's and Subway.
That's right.
Enjoy your stay in America.
Yep.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Then it's craziness." All right, go ahead, Chris. Next story.
In related news, President-elect Donald Trump was in Arizona over the weekend speaking at the America Fest. That is an event that Charlie Kirk and his Turning Point USA organization put on. And one of the things that is trending on social media is
it
Trump.
Trending?
It is. One of the things that people are sharing a lot, reposting on social media, is Trump's comments about big things he says he's going to do about the border on day one. Clip 3.
On my first day back in the Oval Office, I will sign a historic slate of executive orders to close our border to illegal aliens and stop the invasion of our country. And on that same day, we will begin the largest deportation operation in American history, larger even than that of President Dwight D. Eisenhower. The DEA, the FBI, the intelligence community, and financial sanctions to remove the migrant gangs and criminals that are killing and raping and maiming our citizens. We're going to get them out. We're going to get them out. We're going to get them out fast. We have no choice.
That's President Trump over the weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Tom Holman, in that previous interview that we heard, he essentially repeats the same message. Yeah.
Last week on Fox and Friends, Holman said, look, we'd love to all work together, Republicans and Democrats, but even if you're not, we're coming. That's how he ended the soundbite.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see what happens, but this was a big, as Wesley pointed out, out all year, this was a big issue, maybe the number one issue for a lot of voters that pull the lever. We don't pull levers anymore.
Yeah.
Filled in the blank
for
Trump to win the election. This was a big issue.
And it would not have been if we meaning the conservatives, the Republicans, did not take the ones that were coming across the border and shipping them or sending them to the Democrat cities. That's where
you're right. That did force the issue
because they had to live with what they were saying. What's the problem?
I would say the first person that needs credit for that would be me.
That's right.
And I want to
say, you said it tongue in cheek, I think, though. I don't think you did. You really think it was going to happen, though?
I want to stay as humble as I can. Okay. But I talked about this 2 years ago or so, or maybe longer.
The only way someone's going to feel it.
I said, you need to take these illegal immigrants and send them to sanctuary states and cities because that's the only way that the liberal news media and the lefties are going to have their attention, get their attention, is to put them in their backyard.
And the reason the first time you said that, maybe I'm wrong, but at one point I thought you said that tongue in cheek because you were frustrated to the point that there's nothing else we can do. Why talk about it anymore? Because it's an open border.
Right.
President Biden at the time swiped 110 executive orders that had to do with the border.
Yeah.
And so you were just saying, wait a minute, I don't, you know, if this is how it's going to go. Yeah. Our only option is to send them over there. And I kind of laughed at you like, that's not going to happen. But apparently.
Well, the person that deserves the most credit for this politically would be Governor Greg Abbott, I think, of Texas.
Yeah.
He's the one who started, sending the buses to New York. And he didn't force anybody to get on there. These illegal immigrants wanted to go to New York City because New York City is a sanctuary city.
Yeah.
And New York City will put you up in a hotel for as long as you want and feed you. So, I mean, who wouldn't want that, right? And then Chicago, the same
type. Credit cards.
Yes, Chicago, same type thing. So these big liberal cities were starting to get overwhelmed and still dealing with that and will still be dealing with that. They're a lot of citizens of Chicago who are liberal Democrats are very upset because a lot of money is being used to take care of the illegal immigrants here. And let me just say this too. When I say illegal immigrants, I don't mean to suggest that these people are human beings. They shouldn't be used as pawns, but, when you break into another people's country, you don't have a right to say what you get or don't get. Okay. So while I feel sorry for these folks, some of them who've come here because of their, impoverished living conditions in Central America, for example, or Mexico, we can't take on the world, for that reason. The U.S. is not morally required to let everybody in the world who wants to come here because they're poor. That's a false view of
government.
Of government. Go ahead.
We can't say, oh, well, we're going to add another million or another 5 million or 10 million or say to the whole world, come anytime you want, any way you want.
Right.
No country can survive without borders
right.
that are actually governed and where the law is enforced. There is such a thing, Tim, as legal immigration.
Yes,
and there
yes.
are millions
yes.
and millions of people who come to the U.S.
Yes.
over the years. And in fact, most of us are descended ultimately from legal immigrants who came from other countries.
L-E-G-A-L.
Right.
Legal. Right. As you
legal.
Said, that's the operative word.
Right. Legal immigrants. So the immigration is a good thing when it's done legally and it's done under control, but it is not under control
right.
at the southern border. It has been out mm-hmm. of control. And last thing, Tim, it's been out of control on purpose. That's
yes,
not a bug.
Yes, that's right.
a feature of the
that's
Biden
right.
policies.
That's right. All right, next story, Chris.
All right, it sounds like a Babylon Bee headline or story, but I promise you it's legit. I'm a newsman. Trust me.
One. Looking forward to it.
Okay, Donald Trump wants to take back control, U.S. control of the Panama Canal. And I have audio of Donald Trump.
He sent Ray Pritchard down there to do some
surveillance.
I wasn't supposed to say that out loud.
Yeah.
It's a secret mission.
Here is some, I had to cut this down a little bit because it was pretty long. Here is some of Donald Trump talking to Tucker Carlson about his idea, Trump's idea of taking back the Panama Canal. Clip 4.
Such an incredible engineering marvel. We sold it under Jimmy Carter. We sold it to Panama for $1. The following day, they quadrupled the amount of money the ships had to pay to get across. They didn't lose one ship, and now they've made it much bigger, and now they've widened it. They've doubled it, right? They've more than doubled it. And it's one of the most profitable things any time. It's just incredible, right? We gave it away for $1. China now controls it. They actually control the Panama Canal. They run it. They control it. And we shouldn't let that happen. And we can't let China be in Cuba. And they'll get out. If I'm president, they'll get out. Because I had a very good relationship with President Xi, but he respected this country, he respected me. And he'll get out. And we can't let them run the Panama Canal. We built the Panama Canal. Should have never been given to Panama. We should have had it. But we gave it for $1. Think of it. We have done the stupidest things in this country.
Okay, Ray, you were down there, you and Marlene, a couple weeks ago?
Right, about 3 weeks ago. Cruised right through the Panama Canal, and it's exactly what President Trump said. It's beautiful. It's historic. It's an engineering marvel, one of the most amazing works of man in modern times. So it's worth seeing. But I got to say, President Trump is right on every single thing he said. When we were coming into the canal from the going east to the west, you could look back across the horizon. There's a long line of ships waiting to get in. And when we got to the west side, long line of ships out in the Pacific Ocean waiting to get in. So business is good down there in Panama. The problem is not the country of Panama per se. The problem is China, exactly what the president said. The Chinese already have controlling interest in three of the major ports on either side of the Panama Canal. They largely control the, every boat that passes through has to pay some amount of money from $100 to $500,000 to it could be $1 million or more. So what the Panamanians have done, I think, with Chinese prodding, they've raised, and 75% of the ships that go through are coming to or from the U.S. The mayor down there at Panama City, capital city, said, "Yeah, we're not gonna let the U.S. change anything." What? This isn't about the U.S. and Panama. I found this side note, Tim. I found that I met a number of the Panamanian people. Wonderful, beautiful country, and the Panama Canal has been a boon to the economy
sure.
of Panama. Has made it into a beautiful part of Central America. The solution here is exactly what the president said, to get the Chinese out of Central America because they're trying to buy their way into control. And I'll tell you this, Tim, the U.S. and the West in general, we cannot tolerate a Panama Canal that is under the control of the Chinese government. That's unacceptable, and we'll do whatever it takes to stop that.
Was it Jimmy Carter, then President Carter, who sold?
Yeah.
Who gave the Panama Canal to Panama? Is that right?
That's right. That's exactly right.
What was do you remember the circumstances surrounding that or why he did that?
Well, there was a lot of dissension. There was a lot of pressure. And the Panamanians, I understand their point of view. Look, this is our country. We should control the Panama Canal.
Right.
But we couldn't come to any kind of agreement. So we there was a huge political debate, which took place in the late 70s. But the treaty was passed, and for $1, we sold the greatest work of modern man, the most amazing engineering achievement. We sold it to the country of Panama for $1. I think there are two parts to this, Tim, to solve this. And I'll bet the press. Look, I don't think we want to send the 82nd Airborne down to the Panama Canal.
We're not going to do that.
We're not going to send the landing. Look, we did Panama a favor in the 80s when we helped them. I should say we helped them. We got rid of Noriega. Remember that?
Yeah.
When that guy, he was a bad guy. And the Panamanians agree with that. They generally very positive about the U.S. The two things that have to happen to solve this are, number one, we got to say to Panama, you are not going to use Chinese influence to raise the rates over and over and over again. It's in the treaty that if access to the canal is hindered in any way, we have the right to intervene. That's in the treaty that the U.S. signed. So we can go back in there and change things if we want to. I think the Panamanians will be smart to, let us say, renegotiate their deal. Okay. And second is to say to the Chinese, you got to get out of Central America. We're not going to give you control of the most important waterway between the Atlantic and the Pacific.
Yeah. This is going to be very interesting.
Did you see Trump's Truth Social post on this? Have you seen it, Dan?
I did not. What did he say?
He says he takes a picture of a flag in the middle of the canal and says, "Welcome to the United States Canal." And then the president of Panama responded and said, "No, every square inch of Panama belongs to Panama." And then Trump posted right back, replied to him, and said, "We'll see about that."
Really?
Trump is so cool. He's so cool. We're going to take back the Panama Canal. While we're at it, we're going to buy Greenland.
Yes. You know? Yes.
We're going to make Canada the 51st state.
Man, Trump control that. With the best.
He sure can.
Of them. So,
well, and then
don't think too long on that. That's just funny. Okay, yeah,
I
guys.
Know. don't think too long on this, people. Don't
so he'll
we're not going to get into a war down in Panama. We're not going
to
do that.
To add to all that, he had the guy, the Asian gentleman who heads up SoftBank, coming over here to make a big announcement about how SoftBank is investing $100 billion in U.S. projects over here as part of an international business deal that Trump secured. And while Trump had the guy at the podium, he goes, "Why don't you just make it $200 billion right here, right now?" And the guy just like kind of laughed awkwardly, you know.
Who was this?
It was the head of an organization called SoftBank, and they're investing $100 billion of their money into U.S. projects. And Trump put him on the spot and said, "Why don't you just make it
200?
You could, if you got $100 billion, you got $200 billion.
Yeah. All right. Anyway. Okay, so you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Yeah, listen, President Trump has a lot on his plate coming up. I mean, we have a lot of challenges facing our. Well, that's always true, right? I mean, President of the United States has always got challenges and issues to deal with, and it doesn't stop. Of course, you sign up for that, right? So, and Trump's been president for 4 years. He knows that. So, but you got a lot of issues to deal with coming up that a lot of folks, myself included, we're just glad there hasn't been a broader war start somewhere around the world while Biden's been, you know, asleep. Taking naps and not being the president.
This is a tenuous time. It's a dangerous moment because everybody knows Joe Biden, he's not in full control. That's the nicest thing you can say.
Right.
This, if ever there was a time for bad actors to act, it's the time between November the 5th and January the 20th. Mm-hmm. So far.
Yeah. Makes me wonder if China is not going to attack Taiwan now. They would have already done it by now. Mm-hmm. Try to take Taiwan physically.
In the same way Russia did Ukraine.
Yeah. Which they've not accomplished that mission, by the way.
No, that's right. Yeah, that's true.
But they did. Because you know, now would have been the time, right? Seems to me.
Yeah. For
China to
some would have thought they were going to do it after
maybe
election
they saw the fact them. Maybe they saw President Trump being elected coming. I'm talking about the Chinese,
right?
You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right. Well, you know,
either way, they missed their window just about.
It would not be an easy thing to for do. China to take Taiwan, and it would be an awful bloody mess.
Yeah.
But if they were going to do it, I think they would already have done it.
Maybe, you know, there are different ways to take over countries. You don't have to just invade with your military.
That's right. Right.
You can incrementally, stealthily take over somebody's economy by getting control of their money and so forth and so on.
And reliability. What they rely on you for.
Which is exactly.
Economy.
All right. Well, just to report the news from the world of college football, Ohio State just scored again. I'm sorry, Tennessee fans. I'm sorry. But Tennessee had a great season, but they were no match.
No.
No match for the Buckeyes on Saturday night. We'll be back in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.